I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thank you for taking time to listen, whether it's over our radio broadcast, on CD, podcast, or our website. I really do believe that God has a special message just for you, a message designed to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, and to guide you in your daily living. Let's go now to the sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries for a worship experience already in progress.
God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. As we come today, let's bow all over this place. Heavenly Father, we thank You. There is a choice to be made. The world offers us many things: silver, gold, stocks, bonds, big houses and big cars, quick fixes and makeovers. But God, we come today. Give me Jesus. I thank You for our gathering today. I thank You for Your people. Now breathe on Your word today, God, that it might meet every need, that someone might be saved, others might be uplifted. But when this time is done, may You get the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would remain standing today, we want to certainly share in this word of scripture that was read earlier, Gospel of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You may be seated today. I want to preach from the sermonic title, Rest for the Stressed. Rest for the Stressed. Hakuna Matata is a Swahili phrase which means no worries. In the mid-1980s, Disney put out an animated film about Simba, his father, and this whole sense of them taking, that is, Simba and his friends, and putting lyrics to this song, Hakuna Matata. And they make mention of a problem-free philosophy. Can you imagine living a life that is problem-free? No worries, nothing to be concerned about, nothing to pull your hair out about. If you're that person, my God, you're unique and you're also not truthful. In this life, you will have trials and tribulations. And the Bible says, in the midst of that, to be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. When we say stress, we're talking about a state of mental or emotional strain, difficulties that cause worry or emotional tension. There's not a person who comes in this room today who has not faced some kind of stress, be it physical stress, emotional, that something or someone or some place has caused you great stress. It may be your job. It may be your home. It may be a place. It may be a person. It may be something that causes you to tighten up. And as you come today, you have brought with you some stress. I want to pass along and pass around a stress basket, imaginarily, that you might take your stresses and put them in a safe place until the end of worship. And then we'll take all of this stress, all of this worry, and we'll take it right on out of here. Let me just take a Holy Ghost survey. How many people have ever been to a point that you were so stressed that it affected who you are? Life. No matter how we look, how we present ourselves, We're always thinking about something that's caused us some stress. I'm glad today that Jesus comes along and he gives rest to the stressed. That's the good news of this text. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me paint this for you. Jesus is talking to a large crowd of people. They were always following him, some for the miracles, others because they had been under so much weight and laws that they had heard about this Jesus. And he looks out over the crowd and sees their condition, but he has what we need for a stress-filled life. Do you believe that today? Has it happened in your life to where you were so stressed about something and once you took a minute and exhaled and realized it wasn't the end of the world, others had it worse than you, that you said, okay, get over it. I can make it in this race of life. And one thing about stress, it does not announce when it's coming. It does not send a card saying I'm coming next week at 5 o'clock to your house. Stress has a way of showing up unannounced. But aren't you glad you serve a Savior who can take care and give you rest, Sabbath rest, real rest from your stress? He looks out. He sees the people and he says to them, I know what you're facing. Jesus was considered a radical at that time because persons back then were under so many strict commandments and laws. But he comes along and he breaks the mold, as he does in our lives, and changes our situation. And I look at this text, and there's some things that help me. I say to you all the time, it's not a good selection. I just picked something out of the Bible. That even though I may look cool and calm and collective, every now and then, there's stuff that rattles me. But when I think long enough about the goodness of the Lord and refocus my life, I realize it's okay. I can make it. It's not the end. Take your shoes off, sit back, and rest for a while. Are you with me this morning? See, if you're not stressed, then I can keep on moving. But if you're stressed today, I'll come by to tell you that there are some solutions. First of all, there is an invitation that is extended from the Savior. Very simple. He says, come to me. He makes an appeal. He makes a bid. He says, I know what you're facing. Why don't you make up in your mind to come to me? Why? I'm the Redeemer. Why? I'm the Savior. It is an invitation. June 1965, Pastor Stewart, the visiting pastor at the Springfield Baptist Church, came on a Friday night and extended an invitation for young men to give their life to Jesus Christ. I was 6 years old. Scared to death, stressed out. But when he put his hand out, I received the invitation and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And you've got your date. The time you confess Christ as your Savior. You ought to be memorable. You ought not ever forget that. I can see Pastor Stewart now. He was sweating. It was a Friday night. The pressure was on. Why aren't those boys getting saved? What's the problem? And me and Morris Williams, you've heard the story, extended our hands. But he has not stopped extending invitations. He's still doing it today, even in our own lives. You ever have someone say to you, come on here, come to me. Bible says if anyone would come after me, they mustn't do what? Deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. And today I just want to let you know that he's got your name on the roll. And if we would listen long enough, he's saying very gently, hey, you, come to me. Don't come to the counselor. Don't come to the pipe. Don't come to the bottle. Don't come. I'm just going to talk down home now. But come to me. The world offered so many things even then to those who were following Christ. And the world offers us this whole deal about how you can be great. Read the magazines in the store. You can change your life in 30 days. You don't believe that. But he who calls us issues a formal invitation. Have you gotten yours yet? Have you heard him call your name? As he looks out and sees your situation, he's saying, I want you who've been following me, you who say that you believe in me, you who says I love the Lord with all my heart, take time and pause and come to me. Can you receive that today? That the Master, that Jesus says, I've got an invitation just for you. You need some rest. And I want you to respond. And that's what keeps us going, is that no matter what we're facing, he never stops calling. Even when we tune him down, he always calls us to a higher place, calls us to a better life, calls us to peace that passeth all understanding. I'm waiting for my invitation. And so I'll stop by as the delivery boy to say, I've got an RSVP just for you from Lord himself. Invitation. But in the midst of that, he really makes an observation. All you who are weary and burdened, no matter how much they tried to put on a new face, he realized that they were burdened down, worn out, had it up to here. Can't take another thing in this life. He says, I see you. I see your condition. And he says, I am labeling you as weary. No, but I'm strong. No, you're weary. I'm labeling you as burdened. No, I got it together. Don't you know who I am? And so he looks at them and he's able to spot our condition, not with the natural eye, but with the spiritual eye. And see, we're the best at pretending. How's it going? Fantastic. How you doing? Doing great. How you making out? Oh, I'm doing fantastic, brother. But inside, we are worn out. Pulling our hair out, down to our knees, saying, Lord, I need for you to come and rescue me. And he looks out and says, I see you. And I see your condition. Isn't that good news today, that even though I won't fess up, he said, man, you wore out. Ever took a vacation? You thought you really was, and you got there and went to sleep the first day or two because physically you were worn out. Amen. Operating on fumes. Amen. He looks at our emotional states that you're about to lose your mind. I can see that you are weary and burdened. I'm glad because I would keep dancing around it and keep trying to pretend I had it all together. Anybody ever done that? And he calls and pulls out the card and says, come here, you are weary and you're burdened and you're burnt out and you're angry and you're ornery and you're mad at everybody. Why? Because you're stressed out. But he takes the pressure off by saying, every last one of y'all out there, all thousands of you, you're weary. And sometimes we don't want to wear that label. Hi, I'm Tim, and every now and then I get weary. Hello, my name is Tim. Every now and then I'm burdened down, even if it does not look that way. An invitation. There's an observation, but you know what? There's also liberation. In that 28th verse, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not might. I've never known him to lie. If I say I'm going to do it, mark my word. I'm Jesus all by myself. And so to be liberated is to be free. It's to say, you know what, I'm going to take a load off. Why? Because he says he's promised me some rest. I'm free. And every now and then it's not the world that's holding you back. Not that person or place that's binding you up. It is you yourself. Sometimes we don't want to be free. I'll just complain and fuss and cuss, but I don't really want to be liberated. Even though he's offered me rest, I've got a new alternative. But every now and then you beat up yourself. But you're the one that's standing in between your rest and your stress. Amen. Ever thought about that? Look in the mirror and say, you know what? Could it be that maybe I'm the one who's not received the liberation that Christ has offered me? He who the Lord has set free is free indeed. And that's what I'm glad about today, that I'm free in him. Free to be who I want to be. Free to walk in the ways of the Lord. Free to say hallelujah if it so moves me. I am free. Anybody ever been liberated? I mean, shown up, shake stuff off and kick it to the side and say, I'm fancy free. And when you let that load go, my God, you feel light. Ever felt light? And you say, you know what? I'm all right. Folks think I'm crazy, but I feel all right because I've been liberated in him. And that's what I like about the Lord, that his Holy Spirit will break some chains and allow me to be free. Free in my mind. Free in my actions. Free in what I do. I am liberated. I've got rest from my stress. That empowers me. Because once I say it, I believe it. Once I speak it, I follow it. See, and the big part is, you can't say it. Let me quiz you today. Say, I am free. Oh, you didn't say that thing loud enough. I am free. Because the Savior, come on class, the Savior has made me free. I could end the sermon with that and say, well, that was all right. The invitation, I got that down. And yeah, an observation is great. And I'm leaving out of here free. But you know what? There has to be an alteration. As we move along in this text in the 29th and 30th verse, there's some things we have to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is, well, look at that, y'all in class today. And my burden is, a yoke is what they use during the farming days, a wooden piece of structure to put around a person's neck. And a person, meaning really the oxen, although they did do some of that too. And you would move as the yoke moved you. If you were with another animal, two animals could go in the same direction. Anybody from the country know about that? And maybe, you know, you've seen it on Death Valley Days or some of the old Me Channel stuff. You see where they're yoked together. I used to watch my mother make my sister's dresses. And she would sew it up and it wouldn't fit. She'd go back and alter it. And that's what we do. We're able to modify our lives. And there's something we must do. We must do what? First of all, take on his yoke. We can say, well, I've come far enough. I've got what I need. But say, no, unless you really come close to me, unless you come under my authority, you really can't really be free. And no matter what you're facing today at home with family, that if I would just get into his yoke, if I would allow myself to be captured and captivated by him, then I know that my life would be better if I would but put on the yoke. Why don't you put the yoke on? I don't think I need the yoke. The yoke is there. Why? And he says in this language that my yoke is easy. The world's yoke will tie you up and put pressure on you and make you feel bad. But once I get hooked up and get yoked in him, he says, I will guide you the way you need. Anybody facing a big decision in life, in circumstances, what shall I do? Put your yoke on. And as you are yoked in him, he moves you in the right direction. Ever headed the wrong way and you felt a snap in your spirit life saying you're going the wrong way? That's because you've decided I'm going to be yoked in him. He says, I'm gentle. Don't you love the language of the text? I'm not mad at you. I'm gentle. I'm humble. See, the world beat you up. But the Savior that we serve is a kind Savior. He's a humble servant. He is one who said, I really care about you. It's not just language, but I really mean it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not going to hold you up. Not going to make you feel uncomfortable. But the altered life is the life to where I take on what he's asked me to do. The story is told of two men. And they were in a contest. I can chop more wood than you. He challenges his friend And they go after it. I mean, they're going. And the challenger takes one lunch break. But every time he looks around, he sees his opponent laying back, taking extra. Anybody know about it like that? Who take extra breaks? He looks at him, and when the day and the contest is done, he says, man, how in the world you chop more wood than me? Every time I looked over, you were over chilling. And the challenger said, you know what? I was sharpening my axe. And every now and then, you got to have a life that's sharpened. Amen? That sometimes we're living a dull experience, but every now and then you got to sharpen your life and stay sharp with the word and stay sharp with what you're doing and living. And so that's an example, but I'm glad to know someone who knows about wood. Bible says that Jesus was the son of a what? A carpenter. He knew how to smooth edges, knew how to fix things up. And he went to a cross, an old wooden cross, one day and gave his life for me. And for you. And that's where the rest came in, because he went to that place called Calvary. And he hung up on that cross so that I could have rest. Don't you feel this rest today? No matter what is facing me, no matter what is flooding my mind, that because he got out of his comfort zone, because he did what he had said he would do, he went to the cross and died just for me on an old rugged cross. My God, can I drive by Calvary for a minute? Can I do a drive-through? He went there, having done nothing wrong, but he took all the pain just for us. And that ought to resonate with you. That I know I think I'm somebody, but the Savior that I serve made a huge sacrifice on my behalf. I could never repay what he's done in my life. And that's why I've got so much rest, because of what he did. He took all of my pain, all of my shortcomings, everything I was facing. He says, I got you. Isn't that great news today to know that he says that you may be flooded with stress, but I've got this all together. And I think about that. I can say with the hymn, he says, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. That when I'm going through, I don't want to run from him. I want to run to him. Draw me nearer. Draw me closer. Draw me to a place I can just say, you know what? I can rest in my Savior. And when I rest, I won't be anxious. And when I rest, I won't be bewildered. When I rest, I won't be distracted. When I rest, I won't be fearful, because I know he's got me. Now, you know, Reverend, how do you, can I just say what I know he'll do for you? He will keep you through every situation you're facing. See, right now you have not shaken that faith, that stress still on you. But right now, I declare you can shake the stress off, because he declares it today. He makes the invitation. He makes the observation. He liberates us, but sometimes we can't receive it. Now, how many folks say, you know what, I really am free. And I can find rest just in him. And it's trying to get it from the natural to the spiritual. I want you to take a moment and bring to your mind that one thing that's stressing you out. That's the end of the sermon. I'm just trying to minister to you now. That one thing. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it. You're stressed out. And allow the Lord to exchange your stress for his rest. And there's something about the peace of God. Today, bow your heads. See, stress told you, don't worry about it. We got this. That's not, don't call it stress. Call me something else. No, you're stressed. And that's what Christ saw in the people. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And we come to you today because you've called us. And with everything that's going on in our lives today, it has caused us stress, physical challenge, emotional, spiritual. But I declare today in the name of Jesus, if we would but let that stress go, to let the very thing or the person or the place that's causing me stress to be released. I declare it, I believe it today in the name of Jesus. Now take one deep, deep breath and exhale and let that thing go. What he does is he gives us the rest that we need. And oftentimes that does not mean that the struggle will go away, but he'll give you the rest you need to make it through. Won't he do it today? Let's stand. That's the word of God today. It's already blessed. I want to take a moment today and to lay it out before you. Sometimes persons paint this Christian life as happy-go-lucky, never have a problem, every day is Sunday. That's not the case. As believers in Jesus Christ, we'll bump into some distractions, some detours along the way. But what I'm glad about is that God brings us through. See, I contend you've got history with God. I asked you to go back to last year. You said, oh, I got over that. God brought me through that. If I take you back 5 years ago when you were about to lose it, but you didn't. You say, I prayed to God. He brought me through that thing. And you keep looking back and rewinding your life. That what was meant to take you out has made you better. Man, nobody loves stress. Nobody loves trouble to come your way. But I declare today that when you get through, it's another notch. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Didn't know if I had the money to do it. Didn't have the motive. But somehow, he did it. And sometimes we forget what God has done. Can I take you back for a moment? Sometimes places will remind you of where he brought you from.
My Lord.
I've not always been a preacher. In fact, that was not even that was not my thing. But he has a way of taking what's already in you and making something out of it. That's what the potter does. He said, you know what? You don't look like much, but let me work on you. Let me take those rough edges and make something of your life. Look at you today. My God, you are a new creation. And today, maybe you've come and said, you know what? I'm not there. I got my own way of fighting my stress. But today, I want to offer Christ to you. Why? Because I believe he's real. Why? I've seen him work. Why? I'm sold out to him. I believe he has prepared a place for me. I believe in the here and now, he'll get me through. Sometimes we act like we're not scared. We look the part, look all big and bad, but deep down inside, we're afraid. Bow your heads today. I want to offer Christ to you in case you've come and you've never made the commitment, never opened your life and your heart to Jesus. I declare he'll give you stress. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Your word is so rich. Every word you speak means something. Every word that's recorded from you can help us in life struggles and life stress. I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's one person in this place who has never given their heart to you, never said, I'm a Jesus follower, never said that, Lord, you died for me and I believe you rose again. If there's somebody who's never prayed that prayer, never confessed Christ in their lives, today is their day. Today is your day. Don't leave this place saying, I'll deal with it later. And while those heads are bowed, ask yourself the question, if I die today, am I sure that heaven will be my home? Or is there some doubt? Or is there some, well, maybe. But I mean, sure enough, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. Now let that simmer for a moment. The enemy is saying, I don't take all that. But I want you to receive Christ into your heart today. I know the Holy Spirit is moving even now. I have no crystal ball. I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. I can't save you. I can tell you about the message and how to get there. But only you can accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord, I pray even now if there's that person here, that they may confess you as their Savior. Right now, while those heads are still bowed, if you're here today, if you're not sure, raise your hand. I want to pray with you where you are today. If you're not sure, if there's some doubt, Mom, I don't know about this. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Today, be sure. Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to give my life to you. Be sure today. I'm moving from this moment, but it's the most critical moment of the worship experience. There's nothing more important than the right now. That if you've come today, it sounds repetitive. If you've come today and you've never said, I'm saved, never given my life to Christ, today you can do it. And he will receive you at your confession of faith. But you have to do it. Right now, you can do it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner. I believe that you died and you rose again. I believe in faith in Jesus' name. I believe that if you prayed that prayer today, that you have been saved and on your way to growing. Let's give God a praise today. If you've come today and you desire to be a part of this fellowship, the doors are open.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website. It's cometoharvest.org. That's cometoharvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ, for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.